You may now leave your electronic device on. LA legislators want Hilo noise action. And full-time airline employment is down again. This is Aero News for Thursday, October 31st, 2013. It's Halloween. I'm Glenn Moyer. FAA Administrator Michael Huerta announced today that the agency has determined that airlines can safely expand passenger use of portable electronic devices, PEDs, during all phases of flight, and is immediately providing airlines with implementation guidance. Due to differences among fleets and operations, the implementation will vary among airlines, but the agency expects many carriers will prove to the FAA that their planes allow passengers to safely use their devices in an airplane mode, gate to gate, by the end of the year. The FAA's PED Aviation Rulemaking Committee concluded that most commercial airplanes can tolerate radio interference signals from PEDs. In a recent report, they recommended that the FAA provide airlines with new procedures to assess if their airplanes can tolerate radio interference from PEDs. Once an airline verifies the tolerance of its fleet, it can then allow passengers to use handheld, lightweight electronic devices, such as tablets, e-readers, and smartphones, at all altitudes. Passengers will eventually be able to read e-books, play games, and watch videos on their devices during all phases of flight, with very limited exceptions. Electronic items, books, and magazines must be held or put in the seat back pocket during the takeoff and landing roll. Cell phones should be in airplane mode or with cellular service disabled, i.e., no signal bars displayed, and you cannot use your cell phone for voice communications based on FCC regulations that prohibit any airborne calls using cell phones. If your air carrier provides Wi-Fi service during flight, you may use those services. You can also continue to use short-range Bluetooth accessories like wireless keyboards. Of course, you will still be required to bring your seat back into the full, upright, and locked position and stow your tray table. Representatives Adam Schiff, Henry Waxman, Brad Sherman, Karen Bass, Janice Hahn, Tony Cardenas, and Alan Lowenthal, along with Senators Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer, all Democrats, have sent a letter to the FAA Administrator, Michael Huerta, to request that the agency release its schedule for completing the next steps identified in the FAA's report on the Los Angeles Helicopter Noise Initiative. At a field hearing hosted by Representative Schiff last June, the FAA promised to complete several actions, and now, almost 5 months later, they have yet to report back to Congress. In the letter, the members and senators write, quote, "Although nearly 5 months have passed since the FAA made these commitments, we are concerned that we have not seen measurable progress. Moving forward, we believe it is critical for the FAA to develop and release to all stakeholders a schedule for how and when the FAA will develop safe guidelines that reduce helicopter noise," end quote. Representative Schiff went a step further, saying, quote, "It's my hope that the FAA will complete the actions they promised, and if the FAA won't act to regulate disruptive and preventable helicopter traffic noise, Congress must pass legislation to give residents the relief they deserve," end quote. The LA Daily Breeze reports that FAA spokesman Ian Greger said that the administrator is evaluating the letter, but had no further comment. Meanwhile, the Destin, Florida City Council has unanimously approved a motion that could lead to an ordinance preventing helicopters from operating on floating platforms in Destin Harbor. The move comes after Timberview Helicopters, a tour company operating in Destin, was prevented from conducting commercial operations by the FAA after a surprise inspection. The company was cited for numerous safety violations. The council has been reviewing a decades-old court case that gives local governments jurisdiction over regulating landing areas on the water. But questions remain about whether the city, Florida Fish and Wildlife, the Florida Department of Environmental Protection, or the FAA actually has the authority to regulate such floating helipads. U.S. scheduled passenger airlines employed 320,328 workers in August of 2013. That's 2.2% fewer than in August a year ago, the U.S. Department of Transportation's Bureau of Transportation Statistics reported on Tuesday. August was the 12th consecutive month that full-time equivalent employment for U.S. scheduled passenger carriers was below that of the same month for the previous year. In other words, employment's been down for a complete year. The 2.2% decline in FTEs in August of 2013 from August a year ago may be due in part to two factors. First, American Airlines, the industry's third largest employer, filed for bankruptcy in November 2011 and reduced its FTEs by 7.2% year to year. Second, network carriers have experienced increased fuel costs and have reduced contracts with the regional airlines that operate less fuel-efficient regional jets. Of the six low-cost carriers, three, Spirit Airlines, Allegiant Airlines, and JetBlue Airways, reported an increase in FTEs from August 2012, but it was balanced out by the other three, Frontier Airlines, Southwest Airlines, and Virgin America, who reported a decline. The U.S. House of Representatives Transportation Committee Subcommittee on Aviation held a hearing Wednesday on the FAA's certification process. Subcommittee Chair Frank Lobiondo called the hearing in an effort to, quote, find the right balance between maintaining the highest level of aviation safety while achieving greater efficiencies in the FAA's certification process, end quote. At a ceremony that included Florida Governor Rick Scott, Embraer announced that it will expand its current Melbourne, Florida facilities with the addition of a new aircraft assembly line for the Legacy 500 450 twin-engine business jets. The expansion is subject to approval by appropriate authorities. The Legacy 500 is the first mid-size business jet incorporating a fly-by-wire control system and a full 6-foot stand-up cabin with flat floor. When Aero News continues, is that a helicopter in your pocket? 1 inch equals 53%, and baggage fees on Southwest?
The True Blue Power TS-835 series emergency power supply features lithium iron phosphate technology, resulting in an EPS that is 63% lighter than lead acid designs with a 10-year life expectancy. Available from your local avionics dealer.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues for Thursday, October 31st. I'm Glenn Moyer. U.S. Army researchers are asking a Norwegian company to develop a pocket-sized helicopter drone to provide a personal reconnaissance unmanned aerial vehicle for infantrymen and special forces warfighters. Officials of the Army Contracting Command in Natick, Massachusetts, are awarding a $2.5 million contract to Prox Dynamics of Nesbru, Norway, to develop the Black Hornet Personal Reconnaissance System, a 1-pound force protection micro UAV for soldiers and small infantry units. Prox Dynamics researchers will base the Black Hornet pocket UAV on the company's PD-100 personal reconnaissance system. The PD-100 micro UAV system is for applications such as search and rescue, reconnaissance in confined areas, look behind, between, and below obstacles, bird's eye view for situational awareness, object identification, proximity surveillance, crowd control, nuclear installation inspection, and checking chemical plants after incidents and accidents. The complete system fits inside a pocket, can be airborne within 1 minute, has a rotor diameter of less than 5 inches, and weighs less than an ounce, including its camera. Airbus has revealed new research into the impact that seat width makes to levels of passenger comfort on board long-haul economy flights, calling on the aviation industry to set a minimum standard of 18 inches in order to improve the comfort of long-haul air travel. The research, conducted by Harley Street Medical Practice, the London Sleep Center, revealed that a minimum seat width of 18 inches improved passenger sleep quality by 53% when compared to the 1950s 17-inch standard. Southwest Airlines CEO Gary Kelly says that the airline may reevaluate its bags fly free policy in the future, But for now, the airline will remain one of only two domestic carriers that do not charge a baggage fee on domestic flights. Kelly's remarks came in a conference call recently to report earnings, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal. He said that for now, the ability to check up to two bags for free is still bringing business to the airline, but that in the future, if the flying public comes to better understand and possibly even prefer an a la carte approach to airline fees, quote, we'd be crazy not to provide our customers with what they want, end quote. Analysts say that by carrying bags for free, Southwest is missing out on a significant revenue source that could add up to tens of millions of dollars every year. According to a recent survey by J.D. Powers and Associates, still fewer than half of all passengers believe that those fees are, quote-unquote, reasonable. Finally, this reminder, it's Halloween, and there will be lots of little ghosts, goblins, and witches flying around tonight. So let's be careful out there. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.